elevating my walk and my talk. Last time I was with you, I shared with you from the book of Revelation concerning John, who was banished out on the Isle of Patmos. And I shared with you the Patmos experience. This morning I want to take you to another situation that is found in the Old Testament, which is found in Numbers 13 and 14. And I want to read again verses 26 through 33. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us. Surely it floweth with milk and honey. This is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong and dwell in the land, and the cities are walled, which means fortified, very great or strong. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites dwell in the mountains. Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Caleb stilled the people before Moses. Simply means that he asked them to hush. Please, quieten down. He stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. I want to use for subject the crisis at Kadesh. The crisis at Kadesh. Kadesh Barnea, on the border of Canaan, the people of God foolishly forfeited their opportunity to enter the promised land and claim their inheritance. This tragic failure has made the name Kadesh a synonym for lost opportunity and defeat. Israel's downfall at Kadesh is a reminder to us today that it's a dangerous thing to trifle with the will of God. You may end up spending the rest of your life wandering around, just waiting to die. Canaan is not a picture of heaven as most hymns depict, but Canaan does represent a destiny God has predetermined for his people. It is a picture of God's inheritance for the saints even today. It is an inheritance that requires work, faith, and obedience. Probably the best scripture to depict Canaan for us is Ephesians 2, 8 and 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You and I cannot claim the blessings of God if they are not attained by faith and obedience. Obedient faith is vitally necessary in order to reach and to possess the inheritance that God has for his people. What I would like to do is to examine with you two attitudes in this narrative. First of all, the outlook of the 10 spies. It was not very bright. Their report was one of gloom. It was destructive, pessimistic, and discouraging. They could only see the problems instead of the possibilities. They only saw giants instead of God. They saw defeat instead of victory. The inspired writer called their report an evil report. Their attitude can be summed up as being negative. Now, on the other hand, there was Caleb and Joshua. These individuals were very optimistic. Their report was one of hope, one that was filled with expectation and anticipation. They saw the possibilities, not the problems. They saw God, not the giants. They saw victory, not defeat. God said of Caleb, he had a different spirit. He had a different spirit. And because of that, he was able to say, "We are able." While others only can see the bad in people, the flaws in people, these are the ones who will say, "We are not able." Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know, as we examine these two attitudes, I want to go deeper into examining the character of those individuals who served as the majority report. Well, why do you say they had the majority report? Because God sent out 12 spies. 10 of them came with a negative report. Only two had a positive, which I am calling the minority report. The majority seems to be negative on many occasions. It's negative because these men that were chosen were the heads of the tribes. They were men of influence. They were men that were brought to this position because they would be able to influence their particular people in their tribes. And unfortunately, they use their influence to be negative and to bring a report of pessimism. When you look at these men, the first thing that I notice is that they were men of doubt. Doubt characterizes the negative. Doubt is a characteristic of the majority report. They said, "We are not able." Doubt caused them to question. Listen to this well. Doubt caused them to question their resources as well as their God, who was leading them. In Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse number 6, 40 years after this particular moment that we are discussing here in Numbers, God, through Moses, rehearses to them and tells them and critiques that particular time. Here is what Moses tells them in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse number 6. He said, "The Lord your God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, We have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you, take your journey, go to the mount of the Amorites, unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, in the vale, in the south, by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates." In other words, God said, "I want you to go, and I want you to possess all the land. I want you to possess it in the north, possess it in the west, in the east, and in the south. I want you to go in and possess the whole land. I want that which is by the seaside. I want that which is in the mountain. I want that that's in the valley. I want every river, everything, every resource. I want you to possess it." God said, "That's what I'm giving to you." And then he said, "Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land, which the Lord swore. God said, I put it on a promise. I promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give unto you the seed, your seed after them. He said, now listen, I need you to go. Moses is rehearsing to them, telling them what God had told them then. But now notice this. The Bible says in verse number 30 of Deuteronomy chapter 1, the Lord your God which goeth before you. God said, I'm not sending you over there. I'm going before you. He said, he shall fight for you. I'm not asking you to go over there and fight by yourself. I'm going to fight with you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. He said, look at my record. Look what I did to Pharaoh and his army. Look what I did in Egypt. He said, look at what I've done for you in the wilderness. Watch verse number 31. And in the wilderness where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son in all the way that he went until you came into this place. God said, I haven't left you. I started with you in Egypt, brought you across the Red Sea, brought you through the wilderness. I brought you right up to this point. You're on the precipice of going into the land of Canaan. God said, I will be with you. But instead of the majority, they doubted God. They had an evil report. Doubt is so detrimental when you and I are trying to carry and to receive the promises and the wonderful inheritance of God. Don't ever let the majority tell you negative things, causing you to doubt what God has said. Number two, when you look at the character of the 10 spies, that negative group, that majority report, they had self-depreciation. Now, what do you mean by that, Brother Gibbs? Well, they said, in our own eyes, we are as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Now, I don't understand how they can see for somebody else. Talk for yourself. In your own eyes, they saw themselves as teeny, tiny, little grasshoppers. Well, let me tell you something. That's the negative report. How you see yourself is so important. For the Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you think like a grasshopper, you're going to be a grasshopper. But if you think victorious, you think in terms of what God is able to do, I believe that you'll have a better self-image of yourself. You know, when you think in terms of this idea of self-depreciation, 90% of people are not satisfied with themselves. Constantly comparing themselves or ourselves with somebody else. Why don't we ever get to the point that you can be satisfied with yourself and not allow yourself to always speak down and derogatory about who you are? That's the characteristic of the majority report, the negative report, where you don't feel good about who you are and you see yourself as a grasshopper. Another characteristic is fear. You know, they were fearful. You know what fear will do? Fear will paralyze you. It'll keep you from acting. Oh, I would have done it, but fear took over. Well, ladies and gentlemen, fear is not something that is part of the minority report. It's the majority who allow fear. Let me tell you something that Eleanor Roosevelt said. She said, fear is the most devastating emotion on earth. She said, I fought it and I conquered it. I believe, listen to what she says, I believe everyone can conquer fear by doing the things he fears to do, provided he keeps doing them until he gets a record of successful experience behind him. If you're fearful of singing, leading singing, go on and sing, lead singing. Do it until you're successful. Whatever it is, I could go on and on. But the idea is that the God that we serve is not a God who wants us to fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God is not the author of fear. God wants us to overcome the fear. And possess our blessing. Another attribute of the majority report is a critical spirit. You see, when people become negative and inactive, they turn to criticizing others who want to move forward. If you study the lesson and you go into chapter 14, when those people received that majority report, that negative report, they started blaming Moses and Aaron. And they even turned on Joshua and Caleb. And they said, why didn't you just leave us in Egypt, where we could have died in Egypt or died in the wilderness? Why did you bring us out here that we'll die by the sword of the Canaanites? That's because they have received an evil report, a negative report. I'm telling you, the majority will not give you the kind of incentive to be able to do. They're always criticizing. I don't want you to be victimized by a critical spirit. May I give you just two others? Ingratitude is another characteristic of the majority and the negative. Here, when you talk about ingratitude, you mean to tell me you can't say thank you to God for what God has done? You mean to tell me that God has done all this for you in Egypt and through the wilderness? Whenever you get to the point that you can't thank God for what you have received, that is the very moment that you no longer can receive blessings from God Almighty. God opens windows, God opens doors when you are thankful for what God has already done. Ingratitude will always stop you from moving forward. And then it all is summed up in unbelief. You know, unbelief, when you get time, read Hebrews 3, 16 through 19. The way the Hebrew writer summed up, looking at this generation, he gave his critical analysis of this group. He said that the reason they did not go over into the land of Canaan is because of unbelief. When you sum it up, it's because folk don't believe God. They don't believe that God is with them, nor is God able. Unbelief is what kept them from going. Negativism is an elephant on the road to progress, a millstone around the neck of usefulness, a cancer of the mind of its advocate, an ice pack on the fervor of the faithful. It sees thorns on rose bushes, never the roses on the thorn bush. Its parent is little faith. Its child is discouragement. Its grandchild is cantankerousness. And its first cousin is stubbornness. I'm telling you, you don't want that majority negative report. Why? Because it'll keep you from experiencing the blessings of God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I heard Jesus say, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat. But straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. Don't ever follow the majority. The majority many times will be very negative, and they'll never be able to encourage you to receive the blessing that God has for you. May I help you to see the minority report? Now I want you to see these two young men, Caleb and Joshua. I was preaching this morning, and my grandson's name is Caleb and Joshua. And they woke up when I said, Caleb and Joshua. And they thought I was preaching about them. Amen. And they say, Papa preached good sermon this morning. Amen. But anyway, watch this now. Here, I'm talking about Caleb and Joshua. These men were positive. This is the minority report. Two men out of 12. Here's what God says about them. These two men were of a different spirit. Different spirit. It means that it was different from the other 10. They had a different disposition, a different focus on life, a different attitude toward God and his work. What are some of the attributes of this group? Number one, faith. They said, we are well able to overcome. Not just overcome, not just able. We are well able to overcome. They believed in themselves, in their fellow Israelites, and most importantly, They believed in their God. You see, you can't just believe in yourself. You can't just believe in others. But if you believe in yourself and believe in others through God, that makes all the difference in the world. Why? Because your God is bigger than the giants. Am I right about it? God is a good God. You know, it's the same attitude. This idea of faith is the same attitude as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. When the king Nebuchadnezzar said to them to fall down before that image and worship it, here's what they said: we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, if he doesn't, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Here are three boys who understood that we can stand up before a king. You know why? Because they had faith in God. They knew they weren't able, but they knew God was able. That's the minority report, that God is able. Faith is what predicates them. The Apostle Paul had the same. Philippians 4 and verse 11, he said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned that in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He said, I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Why, Paul? I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Problem is that a lot of us will never go across because we're listening to the majority instead of listening to the minority who have the faith and have the confidence. Confidence concerning the Canaanites. Joshua said this: the people are bred for us. Their defense is departed from them. He said, if I see them through God's eyes, they're bred for us. We're going to eat them in the morning. Eat them at lunchtime. Eat them at supper time. And get a midnight snack. Amen. They're bred for us. That's because they had confidence through the eyes of God. I want to read to you Isaiah 40, verse number 21. Listen to what the Bible says. Put that on the screen. Isaiah 40 and verse number 21. Watch this now, because I think this is crucial to our confidence through God. That's what makes the difference. He, watch this, have ye not what? Have ye not what? Hath it not been told you from what? Have you not understood from the what? Foundation of the earth. Here God is simply saying, don't I have a good record? Haven't you heard about me? Don't you know how I do things? I'm not a stranger to you. The Bible said, it is he that what? Sitteth upon the what? The circle of the earth. And the inhabitants thereof are as what? See, if you look through your eyes, you look like a grasshopper. But if you look through the eyes of God, the Canaanites are grasshoppers. Am I right about it? Because God sees them as nothing but grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens as a curtain, spreads them out as a tent to dwell therein. If you could ever just get to the point that you see life through God's eyes, through God's strength, through God's power, through God's deliverance, it'll make all the difference in the world. You can have confidence. You can go and possess whatever blessing God has for you. But don't take God out of the equation. Courage. Joshua had courage. He said that in chapter 14 of Numbers, he said, fear them not. I'm talking about courage now. Faith, courage, confidence. He was not afraid of the giants. He wasn't overwhelmed by the walled and fortified cities. He wasn't overwhelmed by the strength of the people. He knew that God was able. And then, as I close, two other things about the minority report, the positive report. Not only do they have faith, not only do they have confidence, not only do they have courage, but they move to action. Caleb said, let us go up at once and possess it. Not next month, not next year. Let's do it right now. This is what positive people say. They say, let's go. Let's do it right now. I don't ever want this church to ever think that God is through with us. Don't ever think that God doesn't have other horizons and other levels of success for this church. It's only if you accept the minority report. If you have faith in God and confidence and courage in God Almighty, God will move this church from where it is now to even a greater height. And he'll do it because God uses people who believe in him. I don't ever want us to think that we've reached our level of attainment. Remember how God brought us. That same God will take us even further. And I hope we'll always stay positive. Don't ever think, I can talk about the church, but I can talk about your own life. In your own life, God wants to take you even further. But you're going to have to learn who to listen to. Don't let the majority get to you. You get the minority report. And then be thankful. That's the last thing. Be thankful. Understand that what God gives you is a gift from God. Don't think you earned it. Don't go over there talking about I earned it. No, no, no. He gives it to you. It's a gift from God. A blessing to anyone who delights in him. If you delight in the Lord, that's what Caleb said. If he delighteth in us, he will allow us to possess the land. That's because the land is a gift. Everything that we have is a gift from God Almighty. Not because of our own, but because of who God is. Don't ever shirk. When we come to our Kadesh as I close, as we come to our Kadesh and find ourselves at the threshold of receiving God's promises, let us not listen to the evil report, the majority report. Let us turn our ears to the minority report of a different spirit. Yes, the spirit of Caleb and Joshua, believing we are well able. Let us go up at once, possess his promises and his provisions. Oh, listen to what God said to a man who was 100 years old and his wife was 90. He said, this time next year, she's going to bear a son. Sarah laughed. But here's what God said. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? I just believe that if we ever catch the spirit of the minority group, the positive group, and get it down in our soul and in our spirit that there is nothing too hard for the Lord. If God be for you, who can be against you? God is our helper. He had to tell Jeremiah the same thing. When the children of Israel were going into Babylonian captivity, Jeremiah was concerned. The Bible says in Jeremiah 32, 26 through 27, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? So he told Abraham, ask him. And the answer is absolutely, there's nothing too hard. He turned around and asked Jeremiah. Jeremiah had to say, Lord, there's nothing too hard for you. Then there was an occasion where a rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, sell all that you have, distribute unto the poor, and come follow me. And the Bible says that he turned and went away sorrowfully. Now I want you to listen to what Jesus said after he left. He said in Luke 18, 25, for it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? He said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. If you could ever get out of what men do, what I do, and get into what God can do and what God does, then you'll be just like Peter after Jesus made it statement that it may be impossible with men but possible with God. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. I want to follow somebody who can move mountains, who can fill valleys, who can walk on water, Who can stop the sun from shining in his glory at midday? I want to be able to serve a God who can call men from the dead and make them alive again. That's the kind of God that I want to serve. I don't ever want to be caught up and be handled, nor somehow shut in by the majority who's negative. May I always believe in my God. There is no promise too hard for God to fulfill. There is no prayer too hard for God to answer. There's no problem too hard for God to solve. There is no person too hard for the Lord to save. When you come to your crisis at Kadesh, please listen to Caleb and Joshua. Tell the 10 spies, take your report somewhere else. We're going over and we'll possess the land. Let's possess what God has for us. I believe that we can. Somebody here really needed this lesson. Somebody who is at the precipice of their own blessing, but somehow they have allowed negativity and those naysayers to get inside of their soul and their spirit. Go on and extricate them. Go on and exercise them. Get them out. Replace it with the spirit, which is a different spirit, the spirit of God. And let's go on and see what God will do for us. May God bless you. Jesus Christ is the epitome of what God can do. Will you give your life to him? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except he come by me. Give your life to him. He will allow you to reach heights that you never thought you would. That's because he's in the blessing business and he wants to make you successful. Will you come? Will you come? Come to him. Become a part of his church, the church of Christ, the only one you can read in the Bible. Will you do that? Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?
When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name.